This is episode 77 of the Prepper Website Podcast. Today's articles are, Do Dead Preppers Tell Tales? How to Deal with Mental Health Issues After a Disaster? And Firearm Training, How Draw Drills Will Sharpen Your Handgun Combat Skills. Hey, I'm Todd Sepulveda, the editor of PrepperWebsite.com. This podcast is an audible version with some commentary of articles that have been posted on Prepper Website, a daily aggregator of preparedness information. These articles are some of the best of the best that have been recently posted on PrepperWebsite.com. All article links and show information can be found on the PrepperWebsitePodcast.com. Hey, we're a couple of hours short of the giveaway ending, so I can't announce it yet. I guess it'll be on tomorrow's podcast. For those of you who are new to the podcast, I record the podcast the night before because I want to have them ready for the morning commute. So definitely want to have them there for you Monday through Friday. You know, in the morning if you're driving or if you're going into work and you want to be able to listen to the podcast in that way. So again, couple of hours short. We talked a little bit about stuff going on in London yesterday. Things happened in Australia today. There was a terrorist act. It wasn't as big as what was going on in London, but it happened in Australia. We had a workplace shooting in Florida. I don't know all the details about that one, but man, it's just the world's going crazy. So that's why we prep, right? That's why we need to be aware and be situationally aware when we are out there and strolling about, because you never know when you need to rely on the ability to react and be flexible and move and make quick decisions for you and your family. So let's go ahead and get started. This first article is actually my article, and I recently put it up on Ed That Matters, and it has a little bit of text to it, so a couple of paragraphs. The main thrust, though, is a video, because it's kind of like a how-to video, but I listened to it pretty closely, and I think you're going to be able to grab everything that I'm saying off this video, and I can transfer the video to audio. And so since it's my video, I feel comfortable in doing that. I wouldn't do that with anybody else's video, because most of the time when someone puts a video in a website or in an article, it's usually not theirs. They're usually linking to something on Facebook. I'm sorry, on YouTube. I mean, I do that all the time, but this one happens to be mine. And so this one is basically talking about the tag cloud on Prepper Website. And for those of you who are not familiar, if you go to the top right-hand corner of Prepper Website, there's a little drop-down menu. If you will open up that drop-down menu and click on prepping topics and then hit the go button, it will take you to the tag cloud. And so every article on Prepper Website has been tagged at least once or twice with a specific tag. And so you know that all the articles on Prepper Website are going to be preparedness related. So if you go to Google and you type in whatever, herbs, you might be getting all kinds of weird stuff. You definitely not what you want, and you'll have to sift through all that. But if you go to the Prepper Website and you go to the tag cloud, you'll be able to. I mean, I have since 2012 articles there, 5 years worth of articles. The problem is that some of these articles have disappeared, and so that's what I'm going to get into on this article here. Boy, I can't talk today. On this article. And so I'm going to go ahead and get started on this one. Again, coming from edthatmatters.com, that's my personal website, Do Dead Preppers Tell Tales? Life is fragile. We are born, try to live life to the fullest, and then somewhere along the line we give up the ghost. You might think I'm talking about human life here. I'm not. I'm talking about the life of prepper survival, homesteading, bushcraft, you name it, websites. In the years I've run Prepper Website, I have seen many good and great websites close their doors. This is not something new. I wrote about it way back in August 2014 in The Sad Way of Preparedness Websites, possibly an analogy of the preparedness life. The truly sad things about seeing a site close their doors is that all the great content that they created, the articles, videos, graphics, are lost. For many, this might not be so evident, but for someone who follows a lot of websites, it is. And it is even more apparent when someone goes to the Prepper Website tag cloud to research or look up a certain topic, click on the link, and find that the website is gone. Yes, it is truly sad when a website closes their doors and lets their content go to the happy prepping hunting ground in the big sky above. Or is it? For those of you who aren't familiar with it, there is a website called the Wayback Machine. It archives websites from the internet. I recently used the Wayback Machine to link to an article that was on my Gardening Link Bomb article. The article was from the Farm Dreams website and about natural and organic pest control. I needed some help in my garden, so I desperately wanted to reread this information. A simple search on the Wayback Machine's website, and there it was. I was able to link to the Wayback Machine's version of it so others could benefit from it too. Instead of trying to walk you through how to do this in written form, I created a short video to show you how to utilize the Wayback Machine and the Tag Cloud on Prepper website. Check it out. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and go to that video right now.
Hi everyone, this is Todd with Prepper Website, and I am recording this video for an article that I'm writing over at Ed That Matters called Do Dead Preppers Tell Tales? And so with that, I want to go ahead and point out a feature on Prepper Website that not a lot of people know. And so if you go over here to the right-hand corner, and you do go down to Prepping Topics, and you hit Go, you're going to go to the Tag Cloud. And that Tag Cloud, well, every article that is ever posted on Prepper Website has a tag attached to it, or sometimes more than one. And so if you were ever looking for a preparedness article on any topic, you could come here and go straight to it, right? Instead of going to Google and trying to get through Google and find an article that way, you can do that. And so the reason I'm making this, though, is because there's some times where this Tag Cloud has been around right since the very beginning of Prepper Website, and sometimes you might click on an article that, you see the title and you're like, man, that sounds really good. I want to go check that out. And then for whatever reason, it doesn't show up. It's not there. And so I want to kind of show you something here, two things that you can do. Now, I've already kind of found something just that I wanted to use. The first one is here under, this is the medical tag, right? So if you go medical and you'll find medical and you can just click on that and go there. But anyway, so down here at Survival Medical Supplies, I'm going to click on this one, and it is going to open up a Doom and Bloom website, but it's going to say, uh-oh, it's not the end of the world, just a broken link. Now, for whatever reason, if you click on a link on the Tag Cloud, right, on this one, and you go to a website, and it looks like the website's there, but for whatever reason, the article is not there. That's because the structure of the links on the website have changed. And so I know Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy have, they updated their website. This article was posted on February 7th, 2013. So it's a fairly old one, but I know since then they updated their website. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to come over here. I'm going to copy the title of the article, and I'm going to come over here to their search. Most websites have a search function, and I'm going to search for it. Survival Medical Supplies, and it will quickly search their website, and you can kind of look down for it, and there it is right there. Survival Medical Supplies, February 7th, and you click on it, and you can read that article there. All right? So that's one way to take care of that, and that is if you click on it, and it does go to the website, but for whatever reason, the article is not there. Now, The one thing that I do want to show you, though, is a lot of the times, and the reason I'm writing this article, is that a lot of preparedness websites do shut down. And when they shut down, all their content is gone. They lose all their content. I would rather, hopefully, if you're listening to this and you are a webmaster and you decide to close your doors at some point, it would be great, especially if you're on WordPress, is like download it and then at least put it on a free WordPress site so that it can at least stay up there. But a lot of the times people, and for whatever reasons, something happens and they never go renew and it just kind of gets lost. But I want to show you something here that's very beneficial. I'm in herbs, and I'm going to come down here, and this article right here, I want to click on this one, Herbs That Repel Pests. This was in 2012. January 2012. So I'm going to click on this one, And it's going to go to the website called countryconsultant.com. And back in the day, that was a great website, but it's gone. So you can kind of see it's not here, countryconsultant.com. It has some kind of placeholder. You might be able to buy it. It says site is under construction. So maybe they still own the domain, but it's just they're not hosting or anything. But you're like, man, you know, dang, I wanted to, you know, be able to read that article. So what am I going to do? So there is an internet archive that you can go to. And it's called the Wayback Machine. If you just go to Google and type in Wayback Machine, you'll see it. First one that pops up, it's the Internet Archive. Right. Now, the great thing about, you know, what Prepper Website does is it sends you to the actual link. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to copy this link right here. And I'm going to go and type it and paste it in right here in the Wayback Machine and browse the history. Now, just depending on how long it might take, I mean, you kind of see it was thinking there. And so here it is. So it's still kind of hitting it. So this 2017, 2016, nothing in 2015. This 2014, 2013, it looks the same. I'm going to go to where this article was first written. So I'm going to click on 2012. I think I'm there. Okay. And so all these little blue dots, it's times where the Internet Archive kind of went out and took a screenshot or a picture of this website. And so you can, it's more than a picture though, but, you know, took a sampling of it. And so I'm going to go ahead and click on one of these little blue dots, and it's going to take me to the Wayback Machine's version of it. So I'm going to scroll down here, and you see that it's all white. A lot of the times they're doing that maybe to save space, but the actual article is here, you know. It's right in here, and so you can go ahead and read what it was. So if, you know, here are some herbs for you to consider in your garden as pest repellents along with the pests they're reported to repel. So pests, ants, you want to repel ants, tansy, and wormwood. Plant those and those herbs, and it will repel those. So if you click on sometimes – let me go back to the Wayback Machine. Depending on which one you click on, sometimes it shows you the website a little bit. There it goes. Shows you the website a little bit more intact. And that one doesn't look very good, so I'm going to continue going. I want to go to 2012. There it goes. And from what I remember, I think that's more what the country consultant kind of looked like right there. And so you see on this one, I mean, it even has the ads. There's Prepper Website right there. It even has ads over here on the side. So this probably is what it looked like more. It's not going to have a lot of the graphics and things, but it will be there. So if there's ever a time where you go to the Tag Cloud and you click on a link that it doesn't show up anymore, you can always do that. Go to the Wayback Machine and pull it up, and you'll be good to go. All right. So hopefully the Tag Cloud will be valuable to you, and all the articles that we've ever posted will be valuable to you as well. All right. Thanks for watching.
All right. I hope that video was beneficial for you. Again, I really tried to break it down and show you exactly how it is, how to get there. If you get to, you know, a website that is gone or an article that is gone, you can still get the information. So if you go over to Ed That Matters, you can see the video, and just so you can see it kind of like in real time what I'm doing. But I think, you know, by listening to it, you get most of it, and you're able to go ahead and do what I'm suggesting to do. And this will work for anything, right? This will work for any website. If you know of a website that's gone down, maybe it's not preparedness related, but, you know, it's just gone down, you can look it up and on the Wayback Machine and, get the information still. So that's pretty powerful. So hopefully you'll do that, and you'll enjoy that and check it out. Again, I did link to a couple of other articles within this article that are interesting, like the Gardening Link Bomb and that one, the Sad Way of Preparedness websites. You'll want to go check those out as well. All right, let's go ahead and go on to the next one. This next one comes to us from Food Storage Moms, and this one is entitled "How to Deal with Mental Health Issues After a Disaster." So let's go ahead and get into this one. Mark and I took a CERT class several years ago that talked about how to deal with mental health issues after a disaster. Now keep in mind, we are not doctors or involved in any medical field. The initial CERT stands for Community Emergency Respond Team. In other words, first responders in our neighborhood after a disaster. I'm sure you can imagine what chaos may happen if and when we have a disaster. When we do have an unforeseen emergency, most medical personnel will more than likely be called to the hospital or medical clinics. They may be called to go to local schools to care for those that are hurt, depending on how bad the disaster may be. Here's the deal. We had the most wonderful doctor come and tell us a few tidbits on how to deal with minor mental health issues. I can still picture the woman standing there and talking us through some statements that can help to traumatize people even more. I have outlined the topics we discussed below with her direction. We need to be prepared for those people who live by us with mental health issues who are dependent on their medications. If the pharmacies are closed or the roads are shut down, where can we direct them to get help, if help is even available? If you have monthly emergency preparedness neighborhood meetings, please suggest that all families think about any medications they are on to see if they can get extra inventory by paying cash for the prescriptions. I realize diabetes is a big issue as well, but today I'm only talking about mental health issues. Some medications doctors will only give 90 days worth. I understand that, but it doesn't hurt to ask. I realize some insurance companies will only pay for 90 days, but it's still worth checking on now before we really need those medications. Yes, drugs are expensive, but peace of mind is everything to me. Hey, before I go on, let me just address the medication thing really quick. Some insurance companies will pay for a 90-day prescription if you go with like a mail order prescription. And a lot of the times it's very convenient to do that. Well, okay, it's not as convenient as going to the pharmacy and dropping it off. But if it means, you know, the difference between 30 and 90 days and getting it at, you know, your insurance price, your medicine price that you get, it will work out. So you do have to do a couple of things to send it in. And normally it's a call to the insurance company trying to figure out, hey, I want to mail in, you know, if they offer that. It will work. So if your insurance does that, or if you're not sure, you might want to check on that because, you know, you can always go back to your doctor and say, hey, my insurance will pay for, you know, 90 days worth and it's cheaper for me. And usually doctors will work with you on that. There's not too many medications that they won't work with you on, the narcotic ones, those kinds of things, maybe not, but kind of all depending on your doctor. The other thing that I wanted to tell you and say is a while back we took a cruise to, in the Caribbean. And so, it was the one out of Galveston. So, it's pretty convenient for us living in Houston. We went to Jamaica, Grand Cayman, and Cozumel. And in Cozumel, when you disembark, they have all these stores, and one of the stores was nothing. It was like a pharmacy, and you could go and you could request anything you wanted. I mean, it was pretty amazing. I mean, you could just ask for whatever, and it would be there, and you could get it without a prescription. I don't know if it has changed or not, but I know I have heard of other people who, medications were very expensive. They could go down to Mexico and get them a little bit cheaper. So I don't know if there's a trip that you could plan and around all that kind of stuff. I don't know what that would mean as far as customs, as getting it back through customs. I don't know how that would work. I don't know if they could ship it to you. I don't know, anything like that. But I do know that that was an option for some people because there was people loading up on medications and not the ones like just a pain medication. It was like real legit medications that they were needing and that they were getting. So some people won't trust something like that, coming from Mexico, but a lot of people, there were, and so it was working. So there are some ways to to try to get around it if you're doing that. One last thing on, I know that she's not talking about diabetes here, but, and I've mentioned it before in the past, because I have a family member who has diabetes and is on insulin. One of the, you know, you can stockpile insulin, or there are some insulins that you can, you know, just go and you have kind of like a running prescription for that from the pharmacy. If you need to keep it cool, I don't know if you've ever heard of those little like insulin wallets. Basically it's that material that you wear around your neck, and you get it wet, and then you put it around your neck, and it kind of keeps you cool. So it's a wallet that's made out of this. So you're able to dip it into water, and it, you know, it activates and it stays cool, and you're able to put medication in there. And, you know, if you needed to, you could put it, you know, into the ground, or, you know, of course you would have a hole that you could, get to easily, or keep it definitely in, you know, in the shade, and in, you know, hopefully it's continue to stay cool, but you just keep it wet, and it would keep the temperatures down. I don't know, it's not going to keep it as cold as a refrigerator, but it would help to keep it cooler so that it doesn't degrade. So just in case there's anybody out there on insulin, that might be an option for you there. If the poop really hits the fan there. All right, continuing on. I have a few friends that pay cash for medications a year up front, so they know for sure they will have the medications throughout this year because they would die without them. It's surprising how much cheaper prescriptions are if you pay cash over using your insurance. But don't get me started on that soapbox. Please educate yourself. Check around and see what the cash price is. You may be very surprised how much cheaper they may be compared to using your insurance plan. Of course, you have to get your doctor to agree to prescribe 90 days, 120 days, or 12 months worth. So mental health issues. Our CERT team or designated team members should get enough sleep, eat a well-balanced diet, balance work, play, and then rest. Be ready to receive help as well as give help, connect with the people in your neighborhood, and use spiritual resources. We need to use the tools above to help others control their stress levels. 7 phases after a disaster. Introductions and descriptions. We need to show confidence when we talk to the people we are around after a disaster. Review with the group the factual material about the incident that has occurred. Share your initial thoughts, feelings about the incident. Share your emotional reactions to the incident. Review of the symptoms of stress experienced by the participants. Instructions about normal stress reactions. Closing and further needs assessment. So provide support by, or the CERT team should provide support by, listening to the people in your neighborhood about their feelings and their physical needs. Victims often need to talk about what they have been through, and they want someone to listen to them. Please don't just brush them off. Provide support by empathizing. Show by your response that you hear their concerns. Victims want to know that someone else shares their feelings of pain and grief. And then provide support by help family members connect to natural support systems such as family, friends, and clergy. And going back to that empathy one, some of you might know or remember, my wife and I used to run a group home before I got into education. And so we had kids who were, from CPS, Children's Protective Services, and a lot of them had stories that would just make your stomachs turn, man. After a while, you start to get desensitized to it. But I mean, we did it for about 11 and a half years, actually 11 and a half years, yeah, and before we finally moved into, to this other area of education. But there was this one little girl that kind of got on my nerves because she really didn't need to be in care. She was in care because her grandmother couldn't control her anymore. She was kind of a spoiled little brat. And so I had a really hard time with her because, her grandparents loved her. They would have cared for her. It was, she had some issues. Her parents definitely had issues. She didn't have these same issues that a lot of the other girls had. And, it would always really, really bother me because she just came across as this little spoiled brat. I remember talking to the therapist one time because they would see the therapist every day. Our group home wasn't a typical foster group home. It was a residential treatment center foster group home. And so it was, the kids' level of care was a little bit higher, to where, you know, they had therapy every single week. And the therapist would come over to the house, and they would take a room and, use that to talk to the girls. And I remember when I would always walk the therapist out, and because it was usually late at night, and walk her to the car. And I remember talking about this little girl, and she said, look, to her, I know to you, compared to the other girls, it's her issues are not that big of a deal. But to her, they are. To her, they're a real issue. These are her issues, you know. And so it's kind of hard when we look at it from our point of view and looking at everything else. But from a person's point of view, you know, where they're at, they could be having stress and all kinds of, you know, issues. And we might not think it's that big of a deal, but they think it's a big deal. And so if you're not, you know, if you don't take care of that, or if you don't empathize with them, if you're not working with them, that small problem, what I have learned with people with mental health is that small problem can turn into a big problem. And it's a big problem that you're going to have to be dealing with later on down the road. So something to to always think about, because it's very easy to say, oh man, you know, come on, get out of here. There's other important things to deal with, but you never know. All right, so continuing on, avoid these phrases. I understand. We cannot understand unless we have had the same experience. Again, these are all phrases that you should avoid. Don't feel bad. The survivor has the right to feel bad and will need time to feel differently. You're strong, you'll get through this. Many survivors do not feel strong and question if they ever will recover from the loss. Don't cry, it's okay to cry. Oh, I'm sorry. The thing that you should avoid is don't cry. And the answer back to that is it's okay to cry. You shouldn't say it's God's will. Giving religious meaning to an event, to a person you do not know, may anger or insult a person. And then you shouldn't say it could be worse, or at least you still have. It's up to the individual to decide whether things could be worse. Again, some of us would look at, there's some things we're like, man, come on, you know, don't be such a wuss, you know, man up, those kinds of things. You know, you can see those kinds of things coming. Again, remember, we're coming from a mental health standpoint and really looking at that person to see where they're at mentally. If survivors show evidence of being suicidal, psychotic, or unable to care for themselves, they should be referred to mental health professionals for support. This will be infrequent in most groups of survivors. After taking the CERT class, it really made me aware of statements that are okay and not okay to say to people after a traumatic time in my friend's life. May God bless those who need to take charge in your neighborhood before the medical, fire department, or emergency personnel show up to take the lead. All right, so a couple of comments there. I do want to say that in a localized disaster, whatever that might be, you're gonna have mental health, but you should be able to move them to help pretty quickly. Where things really get hairy, right, is if we really had a big SHTF scenario, like, you know, the real deal happens, and dogs and cats and all that kind of stuff, that's where you're going to have to worry, because there are so many people on psychotropic medication, you have no clue. If you're not around it and you're not experienced with it, there are people that you bump up against all the time that are on psychotropic medication. Sometimes it's just for something like depression. Other times it's to keep them sane. And when people run out of their medication, there's going to be a lot of looniness, right? So if you've ever read 1 Second After, that plays into part of it, right? There's a scene where that goes on, where they eventually run out of medication, and so what do you do with those people that are lost it, and they can't survive, and they wind up becoming a danger to themselves, or more importantly, a danger to others, and can cause a lot of harm there. And so you have that. But you know, a lot of the times we don't even think about, you know, quote unquote normal people, things that we're going to be suffering if the poop really hits the fan. You only have so much coffee, you only have so much tea, you only have so much, you know, stuff that provides caffeine. You're going to have some, you know, right in the midst of when you should be, you know, at your top, you're going to be suffering from caffeine headaches and those kinds of things, and you know, caffeine withdrawals. If you've never gone without caffeine before for a little while, trying to get off of caffeine, man, it'll get you. Some people can do it a little bit more easier than others, but I know after a certain time of the day, if I haven't had coffee, if I sleep late and I just, you know, I don't turn the coffee pot on, it's really easy for me to get, a headache, a caffeine headache. And I don't even drink that much coffee, you know, but that's pretty sad. There you go. So that's one reason why I know that in Mark Goodwin's books, one of the things people buy is coffee. Like, you know, try to stock up on coffee. You're going to really like coffee, you know, when the poop hits the fan. All right, let's go ahead and go on to our next one. This one comes to us from ReadyNutrition.com, and it's the title of it is Firearm Training: How Draw Drills Will Sharpen Your Handgun Combat Skills. And so there's some good advice here that you should take. So let's go ahead and read this one. This article is going to give you some time-honored practical pointers to use regarding your handgun. Besides just going to the range, there are some things you can do to perfect your speed, coordination, and muscle memory. Draw drills are an inexpensive and simple way to accomplish this. You can carry them out in the privacy of your own home. Here's how they work. I'm not worried about the guy with the $3,000 rig, holster, weapon, and laser sights with state-of-the-art attachments in a brand new crisp outfit without a speck of dust and the ICP or International Combat Pistol or NRA certification. I worry about the man with a worn holster and a weapon with the bluing rubbed off, with a determined look in his eye. This man has used the weapon and has trained with it. The other guy can be a threat and, if approaching you, may be considered as such, but in all likelihood, he's probably a Cabela's model or a firearm salesman. Draw drills are a way of training your hands and eyes to be coordinated and act in one fluid movement. I do not ascribe to any philosophy of not aiming your weapon or one of just pointing it in a general direction. The first time you have a target shooting back at you, you will realize just how important it is to aim at your target and hit it accurately and effectively. Paper targets don't shoot back, so you have leeway with them. All the certifications in the world are no substitute for the basic fundamentals of marksmanship and the ability to employ them. The objective of marksmanship: clean, well-placed shots. Anyone who served will tell you this is the importance of the fundamentals: aiming, breathing, and proper trigger squeeze. Draw drills will help you to focus your point of aim, your proper hand positioning, and the fluid dynamics of drawing, aiming, firing, and reloading or changing your magazines. First, take some index cards and mark them with a magic marker 1 through 10. Laminate them. When this is done, they won't wear down or become grimy with use. A few pieces of duct tape on each one, folded, rolled in on itself, will allow them to affix. Then place them about the room you intend to train in. You will then practice drawing your weapon from your holster, taking a proper stance and grip or modified Weaver, etc., and then aligning your weapon on that numbered laminated paster target. Use your imagination. You can place them on anything: lamps, closet doors, pieces of furniture. You can set them low or high. You don't have to go in order of 1 to 10. In order to keep from being repetitive, go even, then odd numbers. Next, you have to simulate changing your magazines. If you fire, just for example, a 1911 Model 45 ACP, you'll generally have a 7-round magazine. This means that after engaging target number 7, you'll have to drop the mag and reload another one. Obviously, you're not firing rounds, but after each draw upon a target, reholster the weapon and draw on the subsequent number. Do a minimum of 100 of these per day. Your hand and eye coordination will improve, as well as your muscle memory of movements you'll need for firing and also to change mags, speed loaders. you need to be able to do these tasks regarding mag changes. 1. Don't take your eyes off the next target. You have to simulate that it's a real one and can gank you if you let it. Number 2. Drop that mag in your palm and place it empty in a cargo pocket. Note, I hate these Hollywood movies that show everyone dropping the mags on the ground and just forgetting about them or abandoning them completely. Don't you do it. Number 3. Take the new mag from your pouch belt and seat it in the magazine well without ever looking at it. Simulate loading a fresh round and engage your target. Number 4. If you're doing a 1 through 10 series at the end of it with a 7 round magazine, you will then have 4 rounds left. You must keep track of how many rounds you fired. This is a real life as it gets in terms of training. Keep a record of your training. You can, with time, substitute actual pictures or photos in place of your number targets. You want to move fluidly with fluid dynamics and being able to carry out your actions without needing to taking your eyes off the targets. There are more advanced ways to draw drill that we'll cover in future articles, but this one will get you started. Hey, if you're doing the draw drill or the dry drills, if you're doing that, and you have any other pointers or things that you have found, or if you have found that it has really improved your ability, when you go to the range and you're aiming and you're being on target and getting tighter groups, if you feel that that's been the case, will you drop me a line in the comment section? I'd like to share that out with everyone. So if that's happening, if that's happened to you, maybe you can track it down to say, hey, it was when I was doing those dry drills, when I really perfected my hands, or when I really perfected, keeping my eye on the target, whatever it might be, that might be beneficial for other people to hear, where it was where you felt that improvement. But definitely something to do out there. I know that they sell those, I believe you can get them on Amazon, pistols that are, that have the little laser and stuff on there. And you can get them, if you got a Glock, I think they have them in Glocks. I don't know if they have them in every single type pistol. I just remember seeing them in Glocks. So that might be something that you could try as well, too. So, all right. Well, I think we had a really good podcast today with a lot of information. Good stuff there. Hopefully the commentary doesn't bug you or bore you. I just try to throw things out there, and I really don't prepare. It's just a lot of the times I make some notes, mentally, and then try to go for it, when I'm doing the podcast. But that's it. If you get a chance, come by the website and share out our episode. We really appreciate you doing that. And, love for you to connect with me on Twitter, Instagram, on Facebook. Come by and join the Facebook group be a part of that. That Facebook group is there, and you don't have to wait for someone or me or whatever to drop something down. If you find something that's worth sharing, if you're a member of the Facebook group and you are, you're listening, man, just go ahead and drop something down. You can do that. I've left it open for you to do that. So it's not just me kind of driving that over there. All right. So with that, let me go ahead and close out. Choose to live a more self-reliant life. Choose not to be so dependent on the government grid or the grind. Until tomorrow, stay prepped and aware. Peace.